Yeah, okay, excellent. Good morning, Rabbi Meza.
Good morning. By the way, my father's not going to be joining us this morning.
Uh-huh.
So, sorry, my brother's in a town in Florida, so he's with the grandkids.
Okay, okay. Sounds good.
Which brother? Danny.
Oh, very nice, Rabbi Lintz.
Yeah, the other Rabbi Lintz. The other Rabbi Lintz, yeah.
Okay, you ready to begin?
6:35.
Wait a minute, whatever you tell me.
So, Yaakov Yellen usually joins, but I know what he does. We all left Minyan the same time. I stayed in Shul. He went home. He's making a cup of coffee. We're not going to wait for Rabbi Yellen. You know, so he'll come on.
Recording in progress.
I think that at 6:35, I like to be on time.
So okay.
We'll start.
Okay, this week is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So, since it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, I wanted to already speak about Peiros HaIlon, a little bit in Halacha and in Agada, and get ready for Rosh Chodesh Shvat. To machlokas in the Mishnah, whether Rosh Hashanah Liglonos is Echad B'Shvat, like Beis Shammai, or Tu B'Shvat, like Beis Hillel. So, but it's close enough to either Shita to, okay. Let me begin the following. There are certain areas of halacha I find, and I'm going to give you three examples, where whichever yeshiva you ever went to, everyone is taught the same mistakes. And I'm sure, let me hear if we were all taught these three mistakes that the post can point out is really. So one mistake is the question of the bracha on Shechianu on a new fruit, right? We make a Shechianu on a new fruit, right? We do it through Rosh Hashanah. Shechianu and a new fruit, because the second day of Rosh Hashanah is a question whether it's considered, whether you're supposed to make Shechianu and Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah. So since there's a suffix, therefore we make, we take a fruit by Kiddush. So a lot of times you hear people saying, well, I didn't eat this fruit for a year, so therefore it's a new fruit. But the post can point out that the new fruit has nothing to do with whether you ate it or not, but rather it has to do with whether the fruit is out of season, and then it comes back in season, then that's called a new fruit. But say the fruit that's in season, I just didn't eat it. People always make cheshbonot. Did I eat it within 12 months or something like that? So the pashas is, the post can point out that has nothing to do with what it's going to make a brach of Shechianu, whether you had it within the 12 months. Okay, is that something that I always see people making that error?
I'm with you. The bigger question I have is, because we get fruit from all over the world,
right?
South America.
Right, so that's what the Satmar Rebbe, the old Teitelbaum was of the opinion that since everything is imported and exported and whoever, then maybe we can't make it really a Shechianu on any fruit Bizman Hazeh, because everything is readily available any time of the year. So that's and Lamaisa on Rosh Hashanah. So, Mikra Din, you probably could make a Shechianu on the day itself. So we do it as an extra throw-in, you know, to get the new fruit. But that was one thing. Then another thing is about whether Shalach Manos requires two different brachas, right? So people are taught that, oh, you have to have two different brachas. But it's Beferish, post can point out in the Rambam, that you can have different types of meat. And even though they're all shahakol, and therefore that wouldn't be, that also would be a good shaloch manis. So that would be another thing. And the third thing I see people is when, and again, I used to do this as a kid until I found out that the poskim say not this way, and that is people when they say Hashem sasai tiftachu fi agiti lasecha, they go three steps back. Hashem sasai tiftachu fi agiti lasecha. So, in other words, they take the three steps, Hashem Sfasai Tifta, three words, Ufi Agiti Lasecha, three words back, and, right? I don't know that's how I was brought up, but years ago I learned not that way, because Hashem Sfasai Tifta, Ufi Agiti Lasecha is part of, like Rav Shech always points out, is part of the Shmon Esrei. So if it's part of the Shmon Esrei, so then you shouldn't be walking back and forth. So even though it conveniently has Hashem Sfasai Tiftach 3, Ufi Agiti Lasecha 3, so nonetheless, it still would not, you wouldn't be walking during these three things. So that's what it seems to me that those are, it could be there are more, but these are three things that stand out in my mind, of things that a lot of people were taught this way, and the simple pshat of the poskim is not like either of these things. In other words, again, the Peiros HaIlan is not nothing to do with whether you ate it or not, and then the Shalach Manos has nothing to do whether it's one bracha or two brachas. It could be all the same bracha if it's a different min, a different species. Even though it's the same bracha, all shahakal or something like that. And the third thing is the Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, that you keep your feet together for the whole thing of Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, and the Gemara calls that a tefila arichta, etc. Okay, so those are the, okay. Now getting back to Peiros HaIlan, so there is a discussion in the poskim of what we know, that the Peiros HaIlan gets a Borei Pri HaEitz, right? Borei Pri HaEitz are the Peiros HaIlan, but the Gemara tells us, and the poskim paskin, that say you have a tree. The Gemara speaks about a tzlaf tree. There's a famous Gemara in the beginning of the sixth perek. They call it a caper bush or something like that, whatever it's called. But I don't know whether I've ever seen it or know about it. But what's unique about it? It has multiple growths in the tree, multiple growths, more than one type. Most tree has one fruit that grows. Here is multiple growths. So the Gemara says that you only make a Borei Pri HaEitz on the ikur growth. The mulchash of growth. And the other thing, even though it's growing from the same tree, it only will get a Bar Pri Adama. It will only get a Bar Pri Adama. So even though it's really a Bar Pri HaEitz, but Bar Pri HaEitz was only said on the Iker Peri, not on the thing that it was not Iker. But the Magen Avraham writes that if you made a Borei Pri HaEitz on the other fruit by mistake, but it's your yotze. Normally the halacha is, if you make a Borei Pri Adama on something that you're supposed to make a Borei Pri HaEitz, you yotze, because everything comes from the Adama anyway, right? But if you make a Borei Pri HaEitz on something that you're supposed to make a Borei Pri Adama, you're not yotze. But here, you have something you're supposed to make a Borei Pri Adama, and you made a Borei Pri HaEitz, but this is different. In other words, if I make a Borei Pri HaEitz on a carrot, which is it's not coming from a tree, so I'm not yotze. But here it's coming from a tree. It's just that since it's not the Iker Peri of of the tree. It's not the Iker thing of the tree, so it doesn't get a bar pri. Doesn't get a bar pri ha'etz, it gets a bar pri ha'adama. But on this fruit, if you would make a bar pri ha'etz b'di'evet, you would be yotze, because basically it is coming from the tree. It's just that the special halacha that the thing from the tree has to be the ikar fruit. So, but it's still coming from a tree. So b'di'evet, you make a bar pri ha'etz, you yotze. But if you make up on a potato, you make a bar pri ha'etz, and it's not coming from a tree, then you're not yotze at all. You're not yotze at all. So that was, There's another interesting discussion. I think we talked about in this past, but I have another thing I wanted to point out that we discussed it. There's a question about grape juice today, whether grape juice today gets a bar pri hagafen or not. Because grape juice today is, pashtus is, when you have grape juice, it's never going to ferment, pashtus, because it's pasteurized, it's not going to ferment. The Mark says you make a bar pri hagafen on grape juice, that's beferish in the Gemara, but the Gemara is talking about when it's something that you didn't do anything to it. So if you would just keep it around long enough, it would intoxicate, it would ferment. But today, we pasteurize it, we do things to it, so therefore it probably would never get. So some say that no, eventually it would. And that became the Tzelem L'Rav's Psak, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think, went along with it, that you can make a bar pri hagafen on grape juice. But the question is, but some hold no, some hold that no, it's not going to ferment. So I just saw they put out Gilyonos from, I quoted from Rabbik the other day, right? We discussed that thing from Rabbik about having a Chazar Sashatz in the office, right? Right, so that he said that Pashas is that only in a base Knesset Kavua do you really need it. So his grandson is recently printing Divrei Halacha from this is from Rav Moshe Bick, the Posek in Brooklyn, who is an uncle of my wife and my grandmother. So he tells a story that Rav Bick didn't like the idea of making Kiddush on grape juice. He didn't like it because it's a question whether it's a bar pri hagafen. And he said he tells a story that he was once at a kiddush, and so they had three things there at the kiddush. My impression: you can use wine, grape juice, or schnapps. Three choices. And for some reason, so he was going to use the wine, but the wine he had a suffix, maybe it wasn't kosher. It could be there was it wasn't Yain Mevushal, and maybe there was a non-Jew who might have been around there, you know, moving the bottles, etc. So he didn't want to use the wine. And then he didn't want to use the grape juice because the grape juice was also, he holds that maybe grape juice you can't make Kiddush on because it's not a bar pri hagafen because you... It's pasteurized and it's not necessarily ever going to become, intoxicating. So what he did, Lamaisa, is he took the vodka. Usually people make Kiddush in vodka, use it with the 1 ounce shot glasses. But he took a whole cup of vodka and made Kiddush on that. Because he didn't want to be so much that the wine he was afraid was not kosher, and the grape juice he felt maybe he can't make a bar pri hagafen. So the only thing left was the vodka, and the vodka, the Taz has a famous kula that since the vodka is so chashuv that you could even make kiddush or maybe a bracha chrona even on a 1 ounce shot glass. That's what Hasidim do all the time, but he didn't want to rely on that, so he made a revius of vodka. But I was wondering that even if you want to say that it's the bar pri hagafen is that you shouldn't make a kiddush on because it's, maybe it's not wine. I was wondering whether I'm not saying this for sure, but I was thinking out in my mind that just like the Magen Avraham says If you have the ikar fruit and you make a bar priha and you don't make a bar priha gofen only on the ikar fruit, but b'dieved, if the other growth of the tree, which is really bar priha adama, you made a bar priha gofen, you made a bar priha eitz on it, you yotze, because lamaisa, it's still you know, bar priha eitz. So I was wondering whether the same thing, in other words, grape juice is lamaisa's grape juice. It came from, you know, and so it is from the geffen. It is from the geffen. It's just that since it's not going to intoxicate, it doesn't get the chashivas. But the question is, maybe b'dieved, in other words, what is Magen Avraham telling us? What's the yisod that he's telling us? He's telling us that even though it doesn't really, the other growths of the tzlaf tree are not chashiv, that they shouldn't get a bar priya eitz because it's not the ikar, but the mice of the metzias is. It's a eitz. It's from the priya eitz. So maybe you can say the same thing by grape juice, that even if it doesn't really merit to have the chashivas of a bar priya gofen, but still it is a bar priya gofen. It's still coming from the gefen, so maybe with the evad it would be okay. What do you say, Rabbi Bezer?
The issue is not the actual bracha, the yotze bracha, but the issue is that the kiddush.
Yeah, right. So the question is like this. Then, like one of my friends said, see, the quick question is like this. For kiddush, you could, we're talking about Shabbos day kiddush. So kiddush Shabbos day, you don't need wine. You don't need wine, right? You don't need wine for kiddush Shabbos day.
You need something chosen.
So, like one of my friends said to me, maybe you could consider it, you know, Chomer Medina or something like that. So the question is, but then the question is, but really, if it's not a Bar Priya Gofen, it should be maybe a Shahakol, but maybe you could stay, Lamaisa, it's still a Bar Priya Gofen. And then you'd have to say, like my friend Rabbi Gedali Berger pointed out, that if you assume it's a Chomer Medina, then you would be able to do it even if it's not wine. Because we do make, you know, kiddush and other things as well. It's the thing is, Friday night would be the problem, because Friday night you don't. So it's not so many shittas hold that you can make kiddush on Chomer Medina Friday night. So, like my friend Rabbi Yaakov Havan pointed out, like for Friday night, if you hold that it's a problem, the grape juice, then you should try to make sure to get wine, because if you don't go wine, then you can't make it. If you hold that grape juice is not wine, then it won't be good for Friday night. And then the other possibility is the halacha is you can make kiddush on challah Friday night. So, but the minhag Yisrael somehow is if you have wine, grape juice, or challah, and you don't have the wine available, you only have the grape juice, so minhag is to use the grape juice and not to make kiddush on the challah. Even though one could forward an argument that making kiddush on challah would be more appropriate, because if you really hold that the grape juice is not wine because it can't get intoxicated, so then and somehow you don't have wine, so then challah would. But lemaisa, it has been mekubal in Klal Yisrael to treat grape juice like wine. So even if I try not to rely on that. I was once in a camp for Shabbos and the summer, and I didn't want to. And some camps have rules that, you know, they don't allow any wine in the camp. So then they have grape juice. So then, the owner of the camp got me from their special bunk. You know, they got me. They got me the real wine, and I made on wine. But one could argue that maybe you should make a challah. Okay, that's now. There is a discussion whether once something no longer has the, in other words, say you crush up the apple, you know, applesauce and things like that, whether that also is bar priya eitz. Or not. So there are different shitas. So that's the discussion of the applesauce. Call from wireless call. when you have the when you have the applesauce.
Call from wireless caller.
When you make a bird pray eights on the applesauce.
Call
there are post game.
Call from wireless caller.
There are
call from wireless caller.
There are
call from wireless caller.
There are sheeters that hold that even if it's not a chunky applesauce, you would still make. In fact, there's a whole discussion in the postkim on two interesting shilas in the postkim. That is chocolate. What's the bracha for chocolate? So there were postkim that hold that chocolate is a bar prey eitz. That chocolate is a bar prey eitz. Most people don't hold this way, but there are shitas that chocolate is a bar prey eitz. Because it's coming from a tree, and even though it doesn't have, but that's the tzura of the chocolate. That's so the mice. That was the thing, you know. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskind that if you have raisinets, maybe you should make two brachas on raisinets. That's a famous tshuva. Two brachas on raisinets, on the raisin and then on the chocolate. And others said no, it's really only one bracha because you're eating it together. So you only make one bracha, whatever you consider the ikar. But others say that no, you only make one bracha because the raisin and the chocolate is the same bracha of Bar Prey Eitz. That was. And then the other discussion is orange juice. What's the bracha on orange juice? So most people, the Minhag Yisrael is to make a shahakal on orange juice. But there are poskim discussed in the Chazon Ish and others, where the body has a tshuva about this, that orange juice really is a bar prey eitz. Orange juice is a bar prey eitz. Why? Because lemaisa, it's made from special oranges that are juice oranges. And the point is, that's the Iker HaPri, is the juice. Because they're planted for the juice. So it's not pshat that it's planted for the fruit, you know, and then you crush it and you make it. It's planted to make it into juice. So that's the Iker HaPri. So there's far as to say that from Poskim Hold that orange juice is really a Bar Prey Eitz. So I don't want to confuse you. And, you know, I always tell my kids, Any sheet I have in Hilchas Brachas that is different from the norm, I don't want you to do unless you're old enough to understand the whole Indian. And then, but now you should do, you know, what the rest of the world does, and you should make a shahakol, etc. You shouldn't, you know. But that's a whole discussion that it could be that an orange also is a bar prey. In other words, it could be a difference between if it was an orange that wasn't made for a fruit. So then, if it wasn't made for a fruit, so that's one thing. It wasn't made for a fruit. It was made to a fruit, and then you squeeze it. But here, it's made for juice. So the ikar netiya is aldas the fruit. So that's why some poskim held the discussion of the Chazon Ish whether it could be a bar prey haetz. Okay,
but so what about commercial apple juice? Those are clearly from oranges that are grown for juice. But if you squeeze your own, generally you just buy oranges that are made to eat. So
right.
In that case,
so that could be different. That could be different because If you assume that even something that's crushed up still gets the status of Bar Prey Eitz, then it would be the same. But if you assume that once you crush it up and it changes its form, it doesn't get the bracha Bar Prey Eitz, so then that would be considered changing its form when you're eating at oranges. Right. But But when you have the orange that's made for, the orange that's made for what? For being an orange itself. So it's not shot, you change the form. It was planted for the juice. And that is its ikar form. And then it would make a peri-peri eitz. But Rav Shach is of the opinion that anything that you, anything that's a beverage, you make a shahakol. In other words, if you're eating it to quench your thirst, and then so it would make it be a shahakol anyway, based on the tosis in brachas. But
the on the orange juice, it doesn't matter whether it's got pulp or not, is what you're saying.
Right, right. Even if it wouldn't have pulp, if it would be a whatchamacallit, oranges that were grown for juice.
Right, Florida orange juice is grown.
Right,
juice.
Right. So there are shitas that would be appropriate. Again, not everyone holds that way. That's why I'm just telling you that the interesting shaila of the chocolate and the orange juice. Those are two candidates of that the minhag ha'olam is clearly shahakol of both of them, but there is reason to say not that way, to make a bari peri eitz on both of them. Okay, so these are the
Rabbi, before you get off the brachas, what about the shechianos? Because b'zman hazeh we have fruit. You know, what practically do we do for fruit?
Yeah, so shechiano, I don't think there's any fruit that I would make a shechiano on. I won't make a shechiano, and Rosh Hashanah. So Meikar had then either I could get a new hat, or, you know, something like that, a new tie, you know, a new. It doesn't have to be a new fruit. It can be a new baguette, and Patra says if you hold Meikar, so you're not. In other words, if I buy a new suit, or something like that, then I can make a shechiano.
Here in California. Strawberry season is almost year-round, but really June is when the new crop of strawberries comes. So you're saying that we couldn't make a shechiano on the strawberries.
In other words, if they're available
from South America.
Right, right. I would treat it as a Suffolk brachas. Suffolk brachas lahakel if it's always around.
So the only time I could make a shechiana on a fruit is something really exotic that I never had before, but that doesn't matter either.
Right,
whether I had it or not.
Right, and Rav Shechter likes to quote from the Netziv that you see the Rav Abadi Shita is like others that even if it would be a new fruit, but you're not happy about it, you know, you're not happy. You know, sometimes you get these fruits for Rosh Hashanah, and you know, bekoshi you can eat them. You know, like, but Rav Shechter's quotes from the Netziv. The Netziv said no, that the din of the two dinim of shechiyana. One is when you get something new, you get a new suit or something like that. You're excited about it. You're happy about it. You can make a shechiyana. But the idea of the shechiyana on the fruits is because you lived to a new season in life. In other words, now you live to a new season, just like I lived till the next Yontif, Shechiyanu that we hear for Yontif, and so therefore it wouldn't require, as Rav Shechter said from the Tziv, it wouldn't require happiness for the fruit because that's a different type of Shechiyanu. It's not the Shechiyanu of happiness. It's the Shechiyanu of Hagazman. Of coming to a new milestone. Now we live to the milestone of this season, etc. But if you hold that you need simcha even for the fruit, so there's not so much simcha for the fruit. So there's no halacha that you have to say a shechiyanu, right? Even the Gemara says it's only a rishus. The Gemara says, but when do I say shechiyanu? I say shechiyanu on things that. If you buy something new, a new suit, and you're excited about the new suit, then you make a shechiyanu. If you buy something that you're going to share with others, you buy a new car, so then you make hatova hametiv, because the car is not benefiting only by you. The car is benefited even by the other family members, other people are going to use the car. The suit is, a suit only for you. Someone once asked me, a shaila once, about if he's going to have a suit and he's going to share it with his father and something like that, whether he should. But most people don't share suits with other people. And so then it would be only for you. So if it's only for you, it's a shechianu. If you're going to have other people benefiting from this thing, like a new car or something like that, then it would be hatova meitiv, because it's not only you who are using it, but it's there's someone else. Okay, there is a famous pasuk in Shoftim which the darshanim like to speak about. Adam eats hasadeh. That's the end of Shoftim, in the discussion about fruit trees and what's interesting is people have a lot of drushes that they say about this pasuk. But the pasuk shot in the pasuk, it's rhetorical. The Adam eats hasadeh, meaning is Adam eats hasadeh? Adam is not an eats hasadeh. He's different than an Eitz HaSadeh. But somehow, the Darshanim took it and darshaned it in the way of showing the that the person is compared to the Eitz HaSadeh. So the Maral says that Adam, like the Pasuk says in Chumash, was Lashon Adama. And Adama is land. And land, you can leave the land fallow, and it'll just, like Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen likes to quote the pasuk in Mishlei, that a person leaves the land fallow and it grows weeds and this, and the Otzel looks at it and he takes Musser from the field. Because you see that you can leave a field unkempt and it can grow and just weeds and things like that, or you could do something. You could plant and you could have produce from it. So that's what the Maral says. A person has to... produce payers in life. To accomplish things. That's what life is about. To be able to have physical bezeshem pruvu. Literally, Puruvu, or as the B'nai Yisoscha writes, that Puruvu is not only the physical Puruvu, but Puruvu also is the Chidushe Torah Puruvu. In other words, anything that you're creating, new things, new ideas, that's also a kiyam of Puruvu as well. We hope everyone could be Mekayim to Puruvu, Kipshuto. But there are other facets of Puruvu, of creating in this world. Like Rav Soloveitchik once said that the idea of Kinyanim, that when you make a Kinyan, you do Hagba, Mashicha, and you code the object. He says, Rav Soloveitchik said this one, I heard from him directly. He said, a kinyan is really when you create something. Bereishis Bara Elokim, that's what he was saying, Ashir and Parshas Bereishis. Hashem is Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. Hashem created it, so it's his. But if you create something, then it's automatically yours. The idea of kinyanim is just like a symbolic. Like, we view it, ki'ilu, you created it. In other words, you picked it up, so you have a connection. But the true creation is producing something. When you produce something, that's the kinyan. And the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Ganak likes to quote, and Rabbi Shechter quotes the quote, that if you plant a sada of hefker, say that the sada is hefker, but you planted something on it, so then that's considered you're the owner. You're the owner because since you created something, when you create something, that's ownership. So when a person is productive and he does something and he creates something, so that's the true ownership. And that's the Adam Eitz HaSadeh, that a person is like a tree, that just like a tree creates fruit and grows from the fruit, so too the individual as well you know, creates something, accomplishes something. And that's what the Pasuk says by the Egla Rufa, the person who was killed. So we say, Chazal say that we took away his ability of creating and being propagate, etc. But that's the goal that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world, that a person should be productive. That's what the Meshech Chachma says. The Meshech Chachma says the mitzvah tzitzis. He says, what's the mitzvah tzitzis? He says, the mitzvah tzitzis, we have one beged, and then we have the strings. So symbolically, what do the strings represent? Hashem says, I created the world, but I want you to do something also. So I'm going to leave some strings that are not woven. And now, obviously, the mitzvah is just leave it there. But, you know, in Hashkafa, symbolically, it means, but there's a part of the world that I'm leaving up to you, that I want you to do something and you to create. So I'm going to leave these unwoven strings for you to create. And that's what the pasuk says, Ota or Kasalma, I'm going to say in Rosh Chodesh, Ota Shamayi Kairiya. The world is like a symbol. It's like a garment. That's what the world is. So that's what the talus is. The talus is the garment, but the loose strings is, and that's what Adam Eitz Asada. And that's the Lashon Adam Adama, because Adama, the Maral says, either you can leave it as is, or you could do something. You could do something with it. And the Maggid of Mezrich has a famous pshat that, why is a person called Adama? He says, really, it should, the person is Dam. Dam hu anefesh. Right? The halacha is that if you take blood on Shabbos, that's the Tilas Neshama. That's the Tilas Neshama, because the Dam is the Neshama. So what's the Aleph? The Aleph is Elokim, the Shem Hashem, that Hashem is Alufu Shal Olam. And a person always has to realize in life that he has to put the Aleph before the Dam is him, and the Aleph is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's Pshat. He says, what does the Gemara say? That you're not allowed to eat before davening. And it's from the Pasuk, Lo Sochlu Al Adam. Lo Sochlu Kodem Shetispal Al Dimchem, the Gemara says in Brachas and Sanhedrin. Because a person's Dam, the Dam Hu Nefesh. But when you daven, so then you're putting the Aleph first. That's the Alufo Shel Olam. And then you become an Adam. So Lo Tispalu Al Adam, don't, Lo Sochlu means you can't eat when you're still Dam. You only can eat once you're an Adam. And Adam means you daven first. That's what Johnny said before. That the morning is the time you take hold of the morning and you put the Aleph there. That's the Aleph. You learn, you daven. That's the Alufa Shel Olam. And then is the Dam. Then you do things for your body, for yourself. But and that's the way the world is. The Adam, the Aleph first, and then the Dam. Adam u'Nefesh. Machlokes. What's the halacha if somebody draws blood on Shabbos? What's the Avera? Rabbeinu Tam says it's an Atil, it's Neshama. Even though it's not the whole Neshama, it's just a little bit of Dam. But that's, and the Rambam Shita is that it's like squeezing an orange. It's Disha, it's drawing blood. But that's the idea, that the person is Adam, and that's his Chiv in this world. They say from the Shalah that on Shavuos, you know, that's another thing that people get wrong, that they think on Tu B'Shvat the trees are being judged, right? The trees are being judged, but that's not really the case, because the Mishnah says on Shavuos is Yom Hadin L'Peiros Ha'Ilan, right? Not on Tu B'Shvat. It's just a question of which year the fruit. It's supposed to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisus. Not from one year to the other. So what's the cutoff point? Is either Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, right? But it's not the judgment. What they have storybooks that the trees are being judged on Tu B'Shvat. That's also something that was taught to little kids, and that's probably not true. Anything, the time of the judgment of trees is on Shavuos, and Rav Shach always liked to quote from the Shalach HaKadosh that it's not only the literal trees, but it's Peiros Ha'ilim means on person's productivity. That Hashem reviews what was your productivity of the previous year, from last Shavuos to this Shavuos. And that's Bez Hashem is our goal in life. And that's why the Rambam says that in Hilchas Tshuva, the Torah tells us if you do mitzvahs, then you're going to get grain and health. What's the idea? Because Hashem, it's not the schar. The schar, the Gemara says, for mitzvahs is in the Olam Haba. It's not in this world. Schar for mitzvahs. So what's the idea? The Rambam says Hashem sees you want to be productive, you want to learn, you want to do mitzvahs. So then He's going to give you gashmius to as a facilitator, so you'll be able to continue to have good health. You'll be able to do mitzvahs, be able to learn. Because chas v'sholom, if you're not healthy, then you won't be able to do these things. But that's not schar. That's how the Rambam says in Perek Tes and Hilchos Teshuva, that's Hashem being a facilitator to see that if you're interested, He sees you're interested in being productive, you're interested in learning, you're interested in doing chesed, so Hashem will give you the wherewithals to be able to continue. But the schar, there's nothing in this world that could have a schar for this. So as we come in now to Chodesh Shvat and think about Peiros Ha'ilon and Halacha and Hashkafa, these are some ideas we could think about. Okay, so have a good Shabbos to all. Good to see you all.
Thank you, Rabbi.
And
thank you very much.
Kol Tov. Have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Okay, Kol Tov. Be well. So, Ben, I'm going to send this.
For,
okay, so okay. You don't have to send it unless I tell you. Okay, Kol Tov.
Okay, no problem. Okay.